The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We've been there since 1968. Not me. I was only two. I was actually living in Everett at the time. But Dad had the business back in 1968, and we've been running it ever since. And 50 years is coming up, April 2018. I joined the firm back in 1990, so I'm celebrating my 26th year in the business. And it's been wonderful. Dad retired about 10 years ago. It's been a father-son transition. And we have been providing financial planning and investment advice on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and in the southern New Hampshire area for all of those years. I want to let you know, I love being on the radio. I mean, it's we have a lot of fun. I get to hear from a lot of you folks. A lot of you send me emails. You give me send me calls, or you call the office, I should say. You come by the office and visit. We schedule some initial consultations for you. It's really been great. It's an opportunity for me to step out of my own office and share with you some of the stories that I see behind the curtain. Of course, we protect the innocent, and we share them with you because you know what? A lot of the questions that you might have about your personal financial life are very similar questions to what others have. Everyone seems to think, oh, my situation's so unique. It's so different. Yeah, everybody has a little nuance that makes their situation rather unique. But at the end of the day, we just want some personal financial peace of mind. That's what it comes down to. But it's trying to understand what that looks like. You know, we just got back from a cruise a couple weeks ago, and cruises aren't cheap, as you probably know. And we did it during the Christmas break, which makes it even more expensive because they raise the prices. And my daughter asked me, she says to me, Dad, she says, I'm trying to figure out how much money you make because that cruise had to be expensive. And so my kids are trying to figure out how much money I make. And, you know, in everybody's business, we kind of keep what we make rather private. We keep that to ourselves. But, you know, when you look at spending patterns of some folks, sometimes you can kind of predict what somebody makes or somebody doesn't make. Look, I took 7 people on a cruise over Christmas. That's not cheap. My kids come back. They said, I bet you made around $60,000 this year, Dad. And I just thought, well, that's kind of interesting how they kind of calculate what I must have made based upon the cost of a cruise. But what is a lot of money? What does it mean to have a lot of money? Generally, at least reports that have come out recently say, whatever you're making, double it. If you're thinking about what you make right now, if you doubled it, you'd say, well, I'm making a lot of money. But making a lot of money and having a lot of money are two totally different things. What you make, as far as I'm concerned, means nothing. It's what you keep that really matters. Because at the end of the day, at the end of your working career, come 60, 65, 70, whenever that time might come, all of a sudden, what you make isn't going to matter anymore, is it? Because what you're making is nothing. You're going to be relying on your resources, what you've put away. This is different from 30, 40 years ago when grandma or grandpa or people that you know lived on a pension. They retired at 60 or 65 years old. They got their Social Security check. They got their pension. Maybe they had a little bit of money in savings. Not much, but that money that was in savings was maybe paying 12 or 14% at the bank in CDs. And that was it. But today, how many people have a pension? Now, many of you listening might say, well, I'm entitled to a pension. Perhaps you work for the state. Perhaps you work for the federal government. Perhaps you're fortunate enough to work for one of the few companies out there that still offers a pension. But if you're a private citizen, if you're working in private companies, chances are the idea of a pension is long since gone. And it's up to you to figure out a way to put some of that money aside that you're making so that you have dollars for your future. You know, each year at the beginning of the year, many companies make some changes to what's called their 401k plan or their 403b plan. That's that plan, and maybe you have one, where you're able to put money aside on a pre-tax basis. That means if you're making $1,000 a week, you say, I want to put away 10% of my pay. I want to take $100 and put it into a retirement plan. And you get it into an investment portfolio. What that also means is if you put 10% of your pay from that $1,000 away, only $900 of it is subject to state and federal tax. It's a pretty good deal. You just excluded $100 from your income that can grow. And sometimes people will say, well, if the company's not going to match, well, I'm not playing the game. I'm not putting money in my 401k plan. The reality is that it is free money coming to you. If you put $100 into your 401k plan, and let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket, you just saved yourself $25. Because had you left that $100 in your paycheck and didn't put it in the 401k plan, your employer would have withheld about $25 of that $100 for federal and state taxes. But instead, you get to keep it. You get to keep it all. And on top of that, maybe you can earn some money on it. Maybe you get the opportunity to invest in the stock market, in the bond market, in cash, or in a collection of investments. And what makes it even better sometimes is what if the employer matches? You want to participate. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. If a 401k plan is being offered to you by your employer, I don't care how bad you think the company is that they work with. If you don't like, maybe they're working with Fidelity, a Merrill Lynch, or Charles Schwab, and maybe you have a personal bias to say, I'm not working with that company. Take the personal feelings away and invest in your 401k. Put in as much as you can, but at a bare minimum, always put in to the extent of what your employer is willing to match. Some employers will say, well, we'll match the first 100% of the first 3% that you put in. Well, you better put in 3%. You better put in 3%. I mean, if 10 bucks was on the floor, if you found it on the street, would you pick up 10 bucks? Of course you would. Your employer is giving you free money. Now, you might say, okay, so now I have my 401k plan. How do I invest the money? There's so many choices. Well, if your portfolio, if your 401k plan, frankly, is under, let's say, $10,000, even under $5,000, it's very simple. Most 401k plans are now offering what's called target date funds. What a target date fund is essentially an expanded balanced fund. It's a collection of stock funds and bond funds and cash. But a target date fund has a date on it that says, it's going to say a target date is 2040 or 2050 or 2030. What that target date is telling us is that when you hit that date, 2030, 2040, that should be around the year when you'd be retiring. So if you pick 2050 and we're here in 2017 right now, you know that you've got a long way to go, probably 30-something years, 33 years before retirement. So you're probably in your 30s if you're picking the target 2050 portfolio. However, if you're 60, you might want to be picking the 2020 target portfolio. What does that mean? What does 2020, 2050 mean? Well, what happens in these portfolios is they're designed to move with your age. So if you're 30 years old right now and you have a 401k plan and you pick the 2050 target plan, what that means is that by the time you reach 2050 and you hit your 60th birthday, that portfolio will now have adjusted itself such that it's more in bonds and cash than it is in stock. But right now, while you're only 30, it's going to be more heavily weighted towards stock. And that's what you'd want to do, of course, right? The plan is you just want to put money in. So some people would say, well, you know, we got this inauguration coming up. We got a new president coming in. I don't know what the future is going to look like. Maybe I shouldn't invest. this company, this country is going to just get blown up into smithereens. Will that happen? No. First of all, I mean, will there be change? Yes, there's going to be change. There's going to be uproar. There will be some uproar. Will there be some volatility in the markets? Of course. But it may not just be because of our president. It could be because of oil prices. It could be because of a terrorist attack. It could be because of the fact that we have climate change. It could be because the Red Sox have a lousy team. You never know what could happen. You never know what's going to cause the markets to move. If you're in a 401k plan, you don't want to think about it. You want to have money saved every single period out of your paycheck. Whether the market's high, whether it's low. And in fact, when you're young, when you're saving for your future, when I say you're young, 30, 40, yes, 50 is young, folks. You got a long way to go still before you die. When you're putting money into your 401k plan, you actually want the market, you want to cheer for the market to drop. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but if you're saving money on a weekly basis, wouldn't you prefer to buy as many shares of a company as you can, knowing full well that 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road, it's going to be higher? Let me ask you this. 5 years from now, look, the market's sitting near an all-time high right now, 19,000, 20,000. That's the Dow Jones Industrial Average. 5 years from now, you think it's going to be higher than where it is today or lower? Do you think companies will be greater improved? Do you think there'll be new innovative technologies? Will we be more efficient? Will there be better technologies? Will there be better roads and bridges? Will there be more people working? Will our economy look better 5 years from now? Now, some people might say, oh, I'm not sure. Well, if you think today the economy is going to be a lot worse 5 years from now than where it is today, I would tell you to stop investing in the stock market. I don't know what's going to happen up and down, but if you think 5 years from now it's going to be worse, why try to predict it? Get out now at the top. Put your money in cash, put it in short-term bonds, collect a small amount of interest, and protect yourself. I'm an optimist. I tend to believe that the market's going to be higher 5 years from now and far higher in 10 years and even far higher in 20. Look, if the market's at 20,000 right now, if the Dow's around 20,000, do you realize 40,000 on the Dow, imagine 40,000 on the Dow, 40,000 on the Dow could show up 10 or 12 years from now. That's just a double. And in 25 years, you could be seeing 80 to 100,000 on the Dow. Is that possible? Well, mathematically, it could be. But will we see 15 or 16 on the Dow? Yup. In fact, I'm planning on it. In fact, I'm actually counting on the fact that this year we're going to see a 10 to 15% pullback in this market. And that's really not a bold prediction, folks, because we've gone up that much already last year. The market's moved almost 20 percentage points from low to high last year. For me to think that the market's going to drop 10 or 15 percentage points, that's actually a chicken bet, because that's almost a guarantee that it's going to happen. You want to know what else is going to happen? You want to know what else is coming for this year? Well, I've asked Bob Dahl, who's one of the greatest economists in America. He's the senior portfolio manager and chief equity strategist for Nuveen Investments. And he's put out his 2017 predictions for this year. And I want to share them with you. And we'll do that. When we get back, you're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Isn't it time to get serious about your retirement planning? Friedman Financial is a financial planning and investment management firm in Peabody. They've been helping professionals and retirees put solid strategies into play for 40 years. When you're planning to get serious about planning for retirement, call Friedman Financial for a free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or go online to FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com.
My grandfather started with a simple philosophy: have quality product and great service. Today at Kibley's, we have brands from all over the world, from unique Red Sox and Patriots gear to the finest suits out of Italy. Taking a vacation? You'll love our Tommy Bahama shop. And we now have Canada Goose for him and her. If you are hard to fit, Mario and Maria will tailor anything you buy at no extra cost. Ghibli's in Danvers. Come in once, and you'll be a customer for life.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. We've been doing financial planning, offering financial planning, and delivering financial planning and investment advice since 1968. It's interesting, as I run into so many people here on the streets of the North Shore and the Merrimack Valley, some friends that I run into, people at the mall, they hear my voice, whatever, they say, I love listening to your radio show. But you know what's kind of interesting, though, is that many of our clients, we have two and three and four generations of clients. It's really kind of cool. Dad started this thing in 1968, so let's say you were, I don't know, 30 years old. When you started with Dad in 1968, we're approaching 50 years in the business. That means those 30-year-olds are 80. We have a lot of people in their 80s, 90s, 100s. Some of them are new clients, of course, and some that have been with us for many, many decades. But one of the things that I take great pride in the financial planning firm that we offer, and I think it's a great item to consider as you're exploring the possibility of hiring a financial planner, is we have become professional, extraordinarily experienced in death. Now, that isn't an exciting thing to talk about, but a spouse passes away. What does the surviving spouse do? How prepared is he or she to handle the personal finances? Are you comfortable turning to your children to say, okay, well, I'll go to the kids for guidance? Do you know what will happen? I'm always amazed by the number of people who seem to think that my will take care of everything. It's kind of interesting to me when you really think about the value of a will. You know what the will does? Think about it. I always say, imagine a parade. You've gone to see these big parades, the Macy's Day Parade or the Peabody International Festival Parade, whatever it is that you go to. Parade, there's all sorts of fanfare. Everybody gets their cotton candy, their balloons, their toys, all that kind of stuff. And at the end of the parade, what happens? Everybody leaves and what's left? It's just a mess, right? It's just absolute mess. It's awful. So what comes through? If you've been to Disney World, you certainly know what comes through. The street cleaners come through, right? With the giant vacuum machines, and they pick up all the remaining crap that's left over. That's what the will does. A will takes care of all of the crap that wasn't assigned, sold, appointed out to anybody else. What do you mean by that, Mark, you might say? Well, I want you to think about this. If you have an IRA, if you have a 401k plan, if you have an insurance policy, if you have an annuity, if you have an asset that you own jointly, and if you die, how many of those items will go through probate and will be subject to what's in the will? The answer is none. You don't need a will to close your estate out in that case. And the reason why is whatever assets you own that have what's called a named beneficiary. When you filled out your IRA or your 401k, you had to put in a beneficiary name, didn't you? When you filled out a life insurance policy, you had to name a beneficiary. When you purchased an annuity, you had to name a beneficiary. And when you set up a joint account, you named who that other owner would be. So if you die and all of your assets are held in some type of an account that has a named beneficiary, you don't need a trust. You don't need a will. It just goes to the people that were named. And if you have a will, and that's what most people do, they'll have this will, and they sat for years or months, and they agonized. Who am I going to give $5,000 to? How am I going to split $10,000? Maybe I'll give $1,000 to Joey, $500 to the grandkids, $250 to the great-grandkids. All that planning. Do you know that none of those things happen? None of them, because the only way that that money gets distributed out to all those people that you listed in the will is if there's any money that's available for the will. I want you to think about that. Think about your assets. Now, if you own stuff individually, let's say you have a checking account, you have a brokerage account, you have a home that you own in just your name, and you die, what happens? What happens if you die? Where does the money go? And you say, oh, no problem. My will takes care of it. I wrote that up in my will. Well, how does it get to the will to be acknowledged that it's going to go to those people? Well, in order to do that, that is when probate comes into play. That's when the assets that you own individually that do not have a named beneficiary on them, that's when those assets have to go through probate. And there's a fee and a cost. Now, I want you to imagine any of the assets that you own individually. Let's say you have a CD at the bank. Let's say you have a checking account in your name. You own your home in your name. You might have a brokerage account in your name, and there's no beneficiaries. Before it actually gets distributed to the people in the will, that you know that all of those assets are inventoried, and there's a report that gets posted in city or town hall, wherever you live. There's a notice that goes in the newspapers that lets people know that you've passed away, and that if they'd like to come and take a look to see what assets you have available for liens, maybe you were a plumber and you feel like, oh, these jerks never paid me, you can go back and try to lay claim for some of that money. It's public information. You might say to yourself, well, I don't want to make that stuff public. Well, there's a few ways to deal with that. Number one is you could put a beneficiary attached to any of your assets, or you could place those individual assets into a trust. And now you don't have to worry about probate. But if you do go through the probate process, you go through probate, and after all of said and done, the time has passed, no one's laid any claims to it, now all of that money goes into what's called an estate account. All of your individual assets go into an estate account. And somebody has been named executor or executrix, or actually the new term now, the politically correct term is personal representative. A personal representative is named. And it's their job to read through the will and then begin to distribute the assets to whom they belong. It's a lot of work. It does not happen overnight. However, if you've got a beneficiary named on your accounts, it's rather quick to get that money to the next heir. But money that goes through probate, that's held personally, that does not have a beneficiary designation on it, can take a while before that money goes. So one of the things that we've learned, it's been a long story here. One of the things that we've learned as financial planners is we know what you can expect. We can take a look at your financial situation and give you a preview of what to expect, because what your expectations are in many cases is far different than what will happen in real life. And that becomes a huge aha moment. What it also becomes is a peace of mind item when you begin to think about what happens to me, what happens to my surviving spouse if I die? Will he or she know what to do? Will there be a person to talk to? I know many of our clients have always told their surviving spouse, or their spouse and or their children, if something happens to me, the first phone call you make is to Mark or to my office. Because as a financial planner, not an investment, I mean, yes, we do investments, but not just the investment guy, but as the financial planner, we maintain a snapshot of your entire financial life. It's called a net worth statement. I know what you own. I know what you owe. I can produce that statement rather quickly so that I can give guidance to your children, to your spouses, to your other professionals, so everybody knows what happens and what to do. I want you to think about this. A lot of people are very protective. They like their privacy. How many accounts do you have on E-Trade or eBay or PayPal? And nobody knows your password. Does anybody know that the account exists? Do you know how much money E-Trade and eBay and all of these online brokerage and cash management companies and banks, Capital One 360, whatever it might be? Do you realize how much of that money goes unclaimed? Simply because someone died and nobody even knew they had the account. Do you keep money in a safe deposit box? If you do, does anybody else know where the key is besides you? You need to start thinking about those things. Who is your trusted advisor that will confidently and securely maintain all of this information so if the time comes, somebody knows where to go to get that information? It's very, very important. Here's a great one that we found for some clients. We had a client who had passed away. He hadn't passed away. We actually knew he was going to die. He had gone into hospice, but we maintained his net worth statement. One of the other things that we also maintained for him, we have this thing called Awards Central. And Awards Central allows us to maintain all of the records for all of the points and miles that you maintain. You know, Delta miles, Marriott points, all that kind of stuff. This guy had 500,000 Delta miles. 500,000 Delta miles. And if he died, what happens to the Delta miles? Well, you could probably battle and fight with Delta to ultimately see if you could transfer them, but it is not easy. But while you're alive, you can actually gift miles anytime you want. And so he was in hospice, but there was a power of attorney in place, and we transferred all of the miles to the surviving children. The children didn't even know that Dad had all of these miles. But it's because we had taken the time to build a comprehensive net worth statement for this client. If you're dealing with your own personal financial situation, you're doing it on your own, that's great. You can do it. There are services. There are online sources available to you, whether it's Mint.com or Quicken or whatever it is that you choose to do. But make sure that you're capturing everything in your financial life, not just the big stuff, the stuff that's obvious. A good financial planner will make sure that we're capturing it all. We're capturing it all, everything from the miles to the points to the online accounts to your password at Apple. You ever tried to restore Apple when you forget your username and password, your iTunes account, all of that other stuff? Forget it. Try to talk to a human being. That's not going to happen. These are online companies. They don't want to talk to you. You need to be able to document all that stuff. And yeah, it changes. So you got to bring those things up to date. As a personal financial advisor and someone who's providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand, I hope you're getting this. Because this is the important stuff. Not what Trump is going to tweet next. Not what we're going to vote on next. Not what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. These are things that you can control. The stuff I've talked about, organizing your life, getting your financial house in order, managing your passwords, making sure that somebody knows where everything is and what it's all worth, so that if something happens to you, life goes on as normal. Look, you buy these life insurance policies, and life insurance is important. You buy these life insurance policies so that money comes into the household to help the next generation. But you got to do more than that. What are they going to do with this money? Where's the money going to go? How's it going to be managed? How's it going to be handled? It's one piece in a much larger pie. Make sure that you're working with somebody. And if it's yourself, that's fine. Or make sure you're working with a professional that is working on all of the areas that you can control. Lots of stuff to think about. And I know you're probably thinking in the back of your head, didn't Mark talk about the fact that there was going to be a guy that was going to come on here and talk about what's coming for the 2017 year, what the outlook is? Bob Dahl from Nuveen Investments, the chief equity strategist. Coming up next, I got a story for you so you can prepare for what 2017 has in store. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
The blockbuster 2017 musical season has been announced for Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater, and you won't want to miss a show. 76 Broncos at the big parade. Join in the parade when the classic American musical The Music Man marches on stage to open the season in June. In July, you're invited to be our guest when we present the magical family production of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. The summer continues with one monster of a hit show.
It's alive!
Young Frankenstein, the hilarious Mel Brooks musical.
It's a Transylvania mania.
Then join us in the fall for a brand new production of the Tony Award-winning musical, Evita. The season will end with a dazzling production of 42nd Street, the Tap Dance Spectacular. Become a season subscriber and see all five shows from the best seats at the lowest prices. Book your tickets at nsmt.org and make a memory to last a lifetime.
Are you facing critical decisions that could impact your retirement income?
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial, and since 1968, we've been providing comprehensive financial planning and investment advice to individuals residing on the North Shore and throughout the Merrimack Valley. We can help you plan for the retirement of your dreams. Call me today at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're having a great January. First start to the month. I hope your New Year's resolutions are still intact. Are they? Are they? Well, hey, if your New Year's resolutions, by the way, were to lose weight and you've now given up on that, I have good news for you, because IHOP has a special they're running right now. All you can eat pancakes for the entire month of January. No, they're not paying me to place that advertisement. I thought it was just really neat that I saw that on television. In between Weight Watchers and Nutrisystem and Planet Fitness, you got the all you can eat pancakes at IHOP. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about 2017 predictions. What's going to happen this year? How will you reposition your portfolio? How will you think about your financial plan? By the way, if you want to talk to me about that, if you want to talk personally about that, we are scheduling appointments in January and February now. It's a busy time for us, but we have slotted room in the month of January and the month of February to meet with listeners of this show. If you want to get started, you want to get serious about your financial planning, about your retirement planning, pick up the phone, give us a call. It's a free initial consultation to come into my office. Phone number 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Jody will schedule a free initial consultation for you. She'll send you out some information, and I would love to meet with you. But hey, I want to tell you about Robert Dahl. I go to him every year. If you go back to all the radio shows that I've done for all the years I've done it, I always use Bob Dahl, not Bob Dole, but Bob Dahl, D-O-L-L, as my go-to guy for predictions for the upcoming year. I got to tell you, I usually make fun of a lot of these economists, because to be a successful economist, when you do a top 10 list, you got to be right about five times to get paid the big bucks. Well, Bob is very proud to say that this year he went 8 out of 10. He did really well. He picked them really, really well. So I give him a lot of credit. He had 8 correct. 1 was half correct. And 1 was absolutely wrong. So let me tell you about his 2016 predictions, and then I'll tell you what's in store for 2017. In 2016, he said U.S. real GDP will remain below 3%. It did. He was right. Number 2, he said the U.S. Treasury rates will rise for a second year, but high yield spreads will fall, which means that high yields, the dividend or the yield on a high yield bond will also drop as well. So the spread will be a little bit closer. So that did happen. Number 3, S&P 500 earnings make limited headway as consumer spending advances, but they're partially offset by the dollar, by oil, and wage rises. Wages went up, dollar became stronger, oil prices went up, consumers spent more. Right on 3 of them. Number 4, for the first time in almost 40 years, U.S. equities experience a single-digit percentage change for the second year in a row. How did we do? Yeah, the U.S. equities only did a single-digit return. Number 5, stocks outperform bonds. They did. So he was right. 5 for 5 so far. Here's number 6. Non-U.S. equities outperform domestic equities, while non-U.S. fixed income outperforms domestic fixed income. Well, he was right on one, wrong on the other. Another one that he said, though, information technology, financials, and telecommunication services will outperform energy, materials, and utilities. That one he was dead wrong on. Most people thought to themselves, well, I want to buy what was called the FANG stocks. Remember in 2015, they were called the FANG stocks. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Those are the stocks to own in 2015. They were not the stocks to own in 2016. He also said number 8, geopolitics, terrorism, and cyber attacks continue to haunt investors, but have little impact on the market. Right again. Number 9, the federal budget deficit rises in dollars as a percentage of the GDP for the first time in 7 years. He was right on that. And number 10, which was a bold prediction, Republicans will retain House and the Senate and capture the White House. He predicted this January of 2015. Now, Remember, January of 2015, no one knew that Trump was the leading contender. There were a lot of people that were standing behind those podiums running for public office. But he said Republicans will own it all. And he was right. Pretty good predictions on his part. I mean, pretty good. So what's his outlook for 2017? Let me share it with you. Let's see how right he's going to be again. Number one, he has said that U.S. and global economic growth will improve modestly as the dollar continues to strengthen and reaches parity with the euro. So right now, when we say parity with the euro, what that means is, well, last year or so, if you went to Europe, it was expensive to go to Europe over the past few years. But this year it has become much less expensive. Right now, it's very close to $1 equals 1 euro. Right now, I think it's 104 is the euro, 104, 105. But a year and a half ago, it was 116. It was 125 the year prior to that. We're coming close to 1 to 1, which makes it very inexpensive for us as Americans to travel to Europe. So if you're thinking about that Mediterranean cruise, you want to go see the Eiffel Tower, you want to go to London, you want to go to Scandinavia, you want to go to these places, now's a great time to do it. It's a lot less expensive to travel. It also fascinates me how inexpensive it is to travel to Europe these days as compared to what it used to be. Look, it can cost you $600 or $700 right now to travel to Los Angeles. If you want to go nonstop to Los Angeles, that's what it's going to cost you to travel to Dublin or travel to London or travel to Portugal. You can do it. It's worth looking at it. Number two, one of his number two prediction is unemployment will drop to its lowest level in 17 years as wages will increase at the fastest pace since the Great Depression. And that's kind of interesting. It's very likely that, well, I think we've all seen this. Unemployment, certainly here in Massachusetts, is the lowest. It's incredibly low. I mean, you want a job in Massachusetts. If you can't find a job in Massachusetts, you're just not looking for a job. I'm sorry. We're at 2%. And that's below, way below average. If you want to find a job, you can find a job. It may not be the job you want, but if you want to find a job, you can find a job. But here in Massachusetts, minimum wage just went up $1. Did you know that? Minimum wage in Massachusetts is now $11 an hour. Went from $10 to $11 an hour. It was interesting. I was sitting talking with somebody last week, and she makes $17 an hour. And she works in the restaurant business as a manager there. And they were talking about some of the minimum wage, the young students, the students that are there that are getting paid minimum wage, hosts, hostesses, busboys, or not busboys, like cooks, things like that, that were getting paid $10 an hour. They're about to get an increase in their pay mandated by the state of Massachusetts to go to $11 an hour. They just got a 10% raise. And so she goes to her boss and she says, do I get a raise? No, you're at $17 an hour. Well, wait a second. You're going to tell me that these young kids that really have no desire to even be here, they're just here because it's something to do until they get fired or screw up or whatever, they're going to get a 10% bonus, 10% increase in their pay. And here I am as a manager making $17 an hour last year, and you're telling me, sorry, there's no room to give me more money. And the manager says, no, I'd have no money for you because the state told me that I got to pay these young kids more money. Something's wrong with that. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I do think that over time, as businesses begin to get better, as we begin to create more jobs and create more efficiencies here, wages will start to increase across the board. And that's what Bob Dahl feels for 2017. Number three, Treasury yields will move higher for a third consecutive year for the first time in 36 years as feds raise interest rates twice. Yeah, so interest rates are going to continue to go up. Probably two moves. But they're going to move up ever so slightly. Maybe it's 0.25%. Now, some people are petrified that if interest rates go up, that means I'm going to lose a ton of money in my bonds. Well, you will lose money in bonds if you own bonds that are coming due in 20 and 30 years. You're going to lose a lot. But if you own bonds that are coming due in less than 10, less than 5 years, there's not going to be that much of a move in your bond. Yes, the value of your bond will move downward, but the interest rate, if you have it in a bond fund, could move upward. The other thing, though, is despite the fact that you may see the price of your bond move down on a statement because interest rates went up, If you hold your bond till maturity, wait until it comes due, you'll be fine. You don't lose anything. You might not have the most popular bond compared to what might be out there on the street, but there's no need to sell a bond simply because the value dropped a little bit. If you hold it till maturity, you will get your full value. Number four, prediction number four from Bob Dahl, who is the chief economist, chief equity strategist over at Nuveen Investments. Stocks will hit their 2017 highs in the first half of the year as earnings rise, but price earnings multiple fall. His general sense is that stocks will continue to move forward in the next 6 months. Personally, I'm not so optimistic. I actually think that stocks will have a very rough ride in the February and March that follow this inauguration. Once the president is in office, it's going to be in a different environment than when you're sitting on the sidelines and can do whatever the heck you want. How he handles his mouth, how he handles his social media, how he handles just relationships with other diplomats and people in this country could make an impact on the impressions that people will have in this country. And it may impact the stock market. I think there are bound to be some pullbacks. I think you will likely see a 10 or 15% pullback sometime this year. I actually think it's going to happen sooner than later. But I do think by the end of 2017, we will still be very satisfied with the return that we get in the stock market. The bottom line is don't try to time this thing. If you want to get into the market, get into the market and leave it alone. Stock market, investing in the stock market is a long-term investment strategy. It is not speculation. There's no need for it. You don't need to be trying to guess whether Elon Musk is going to make Tesla jump 100% or drop 50%. You don't need to be guessing on the next direction of solar power or the next direction of whether medical marijuana is going to be the end-all solution here in Massachusetts. Stay away from that. Leave it to portfolio managers to build your mutual fund, to build your exchange-traded fund, to build your collective portfolio. Work with a financial advisor and let it go. Focus on the things you can control. We've been through four out of the top 10 items that Bob Dahl says we should be preparing for 2017. A quick recap of the first four. Number one, U.S. and global economic growth improves. Number two, unemployment drops to its lowest level. Number three, interest rates. We have two interest rate moves upward this year. And number four, stocks hit their 2017 highs in the first half of 2017. You want to see what else is in store, what the next six items are, the last six? Stay tuned. You'll be right back. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and about your investment management needs, give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We are certified financial planners. We are fiduciaries on your behalf, meaning we are placing your interests first. And I want to be sure that your financial house is in order so that you can be serious about the retirement that is in front of you. and we can schedule a free initial consultation easily for you in the next month, in January, in February, or whenever it is right for you. Give the office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. All right. In the last segment, we were talking about predictions that were made by Bob Dahl, Senior Portfolio Manager and Chief Equity Strategist from Nuveen Asset Management. He was offering up his 10 predictions for 2017. In the previous segment, we talked about what his the results were, because I use Bob every year. I say, all right, here's what his top 10 were. And at the end of the year, we say, all right, how'd he do? In 2016, this guy did awesome. Most economists will usually get 5 out of 10 right. He got 8 right, 1 half right, and 1 totally wrong. How will he do this year? Well, we've talked about the first 4. I'll recap them very, very quickly for you. The first 4 is, number 1, he thinks U.S. and global economic growth will improve. Number 2, unemployment will drop to its lowest level in 17 years. Number 3, treasury yields will move up twice in 2017, and stocks will hit their all-time highs in June, or before June of this year. We don't know whether he's right. Those are his predictions. Here's the other 6 that remain. Number 5, stocks will once again outperform bonds for the 6th year in a row, for the first time in 20 years, while volatility will rise. I think, to tell you the truth, anybody could pick that one. Bonds are going to drop. If interest rates go up, bonds go down. Stocks go up. You don't need to be rocket science to figure that one out. If you're not investing some of your money in the stock market, you're missing out on some of the upside potential that is yet to come this year and the years to follow. Number 6, small cap investments, cyclical sectors, and value styles will beat large caps, defensive, and growth areas. So think about that. A typical portfolio wants to focus its attention on technology. It wants to focus its portfolio on the biggest blue chip companies that are out there. The general prediction is this year, this is the year of the little guy. Small and mid-sized companies that have worked so hard to try to build the infrastructure that's necessary, they could be the beneficiaries of what's to come. Now, the reason that they could make so much money is that some of the big companies could buy them, making them more valuable. Think about it. When a Google goes out and buys a small company, that costs Google money. That's a liability to Google, but it's a huge benefit if you're an owner of the small companies. Make sure that you're allocating yourself this year towards small investment stocks as well, and focus more, more on the value side than on the growth side. Number 7, financials, healthcare, and information technology sectors will outperform energy, utilities, and materials. Now, if you were listening earlier in the show, Bob predicted that last year, and he was wrong. This year, I think he's right. I think, though, materials and heavy equipment could see a nice run this year if we're going to put this infrastructure plan into place that Trump is suggesting, building roads, building bridges, building all this infrastructure. You need stocks like Caterpillar. You need big companies to build that stuff, steel companies. I'm not going to try to pick stocks. I've told you here many, many, many times, it is a fool's game to try to pick what you think is the best stock for your portfolio. Leave it to a portfolio manager, buy a mutual fund, buy an ETF, buy an index, or work with a financial advisor who will put together a collection of those for you that are appropriately aligned to your particular investment goals and objectives. Number 8, active manager performance will improve as flows into equities rise. You know, there's been this discussion that passive investments, the ETFs, the indexes, you're better off investing here than you are in active money managers. There is a very, very strong belief that with all of the money that got rammed into ETFs and index funds the past few years, with people's belief that passive investments will outperform active, this could be the year where active managers just blow everybody else away, and where there's so much uncertainty. And here's when there's uncertainty, when we don't know what's about to happen, when we really have no clue. And I'm telling you, we have no clue. Have we ever had a government run by a professional CEO? I mean, like Trump or not, he is still in the category of professional CEO. We've never had anybody in that kind of a role. We've never had a cabinet that is constructed of business leaders rather than government-based employees, people that have worked in the system. It's going to be different. The outcome is going to be erratic. It's going to be volatile. And unfortunately, in an index fund, in a passive investment like an ETF, you don't get to pick and choose what you think is going to outperform than another thing. But a portfolio manager can. A portfolio manager that builds and manages mutual funds. I would encourage you, this is the year, I think, to partner up with a financial advisor. Partner up with a financial advisor who knows these portfolio managers, who understands the difference between active and passive investing. Now, I'm not saying to go all active. In fact, I'm a strong proponent that you do both. But I think leaning everything on the passive side could be a detriment in a world where the market is as volatile as it's likely to be. All right, number 9 on Bob Dahl's list. Nationalist and protectionist trends rise as pro-domestic policies are pursued globally. It's kind of interesting. This is an America First agenda right now. And it's an agenda that we've not yet prepared ourselves for. We're not used to that. That may be a good thing. Is an America First agenda the right approach? It's different. But think about this. Would you rather feed the hungry in Ethiopia or feed Americans living on the street today? Where would you rather allocate your money? But there is an agenda that exists right now in Washington that says we need to be doing both, and actually we're leaning more towards supporting others. Maybe we should be helping ourselves. Maybe we should try to change the homelessness on the streets. Maybe we should try to rehabilitate people more here than trying to rehabilitate people other places. Maybe we need to improve the skills and the education levels of America so they're not being taken away, so jobs aren't being taken away by others that come into this country, use our educational system, then go back to their own countries and build better systems and better businesses. This is going to be an America First approach for a few years. Kind of interesting. Will we like it? Will it be on the extreme? I have a feeling it will be. Like anything else, whenever policies get put into place with a new administration, with new regulations and a new government, as much as we might have felt like we were leaning way towards supporting others outside of America, I have a feeling we may feel just the other side of it. We may feel like, have we forgotten about everybody else outside of America? Are we pushing an agenda that is just too much America First? That's what happens in changing leaderships. It's what happens in everything else. I mean, it happens in markets. When stock markets start to go up, and we've seen the stock market go up over the past couple months, we're now starting to see people come to us and say, oh my God, I missed out on the stock market. I got to get in on this thing. People get extreme. People say, my CDs are earning nothing. My bank accounts are earning nothing. The market was up 10% last year. I got to get in on this thing. Folks, relax. We are going to have many, many inflection points to get into this market. But like in anything else, we allow our emotions to drive what happens. We have to be careful. But I think Bob is right where he says nationalist and protectionist trends rise as pro-domestic policies are pursued globally. And lastly, and I think this is number 10 on Bob Dahl's predictions for 2017. Bob Dahl is the chief economic strategist for Nuveen. He says, initial optimism about the Trump agenda fades in light of slow legislative progress. I think Trump is going to realize that things don't move as quickly as they do in the Trump boardroom. You know, I learned a long time ago when I started working on various boards of directors that a collective voice is a lot more rational than a solo voice. We all think we know what's right. We all have our personal agenda. And those that are most successful in this business are those that are willing to listen to all sorts of perspectives and recognize that despite the fact that some of the stuff that you say may be accurate, some of it may be not completely thought out as well, but collectively as a group, we can come up with something a heck of a lot better than one person's mission, one person's agenda, and a dictatorial type leadership. I think Trump's going to realize that his desire to get things done and push agendas through is not going to go as quickly as he hoped. I think it will go faster than it ever went through with President Obama, simply because Trump has the GOP on his side in both the House and the Senate. But it'll be interesting. Who knows what the next 12 months will hold? I do know this. America is going to be stronger 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years from now, regardless of who's in office. And that's simply because industry, business, the American mindset, we are going to be a stronger nation. Do you want to invest in that nation? Do you want to put your money and be a participant in it or not? Or do you think your money's better allocated to Canada or India? Your choice. Combination is probably best, but if now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, if now's the time to get your house in order, if now is the time to say, you know what, I got to stop guessing about this. I want to get some guidance. I want my spouse to know that there's someone else that he or she can turn to in the event something happens to me. I want my kids to know that there's confidence that we have built a strategy and a plan in place that not only protects us, that gives us the stability and the income that we need in retirement, but also there's a strategy for how the money will be managed long after they're gone. I want to help you. I can do that. We are fiduciaries. I place your interest first. That's what a certified financial planner professional does. We've been doing it for 48 and a half years, and I think we do it pretty well because we do it right here on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and in the Southern New Hampshire area. We're not picking clients from all around the world, all around the country. It's local stuff. If you want to work with us, give my office a call. 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And one final thing before we go, something to just a little tease to let you know. January 1st of this year, Massachusetts passed a law that if you're investing in 529 plans, that's college savings plans for your kids, did you know that this year and until the year 2021, you can get a tax deduction for putting money into a 529 plan in the Massachusetts plan only. The Massachusetts plan is run by the Fidelity U Fund. If you've been thinking about funding a 529 plan, you can get a $2,000 tax deduction on your Massachusetts state tax return. As a married couple, a full $2,000 tax deduction, it's worth funding that 529 in Massachusetts this year. Consider it. We can talk about it again next week. I'll also have it in my newsletter. And if you want to get a copy of that newsletter, Planning Pointers comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. We'll have information there. And if you'd like to talk with me about this further or any other thing, I look forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.